Shepherd's Can-Can. Over 50 years of endless deals.
Now, Shepherd does the Can-Can.
Endless deals at ShopRite's Can-Can Sale. Going on now. You can't miss it.
Back to the Atlanta podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. Have you been following our Instagram lately feed? If you have, you know we have a ton going on. Lots of photo, little video, some fun on the stories. I want to give a shout out to my main man, Bradley. B-Rad has been shooting tons of stuff for us and creating all kinds of fun content. And here comes River. Hey, buddy.
Sure. What do you want to say, buddy?
I want to get a microphone. Can I hear it by myself?
Buddy, did you poop? Definitely smells like you. Got to give me a couple minutes. Let me finish this, buddy, okay? As I was saying, my main man, Bradley, he is tagged on many of the Instagram photos. Go see the work he's doing. Hire that guy. He's killing it for this show. On today's program, Matt Thomas, Brawl for a Cause. Now, I found it, as I find a lot of things these days, through Instagram, through some kind of Atlanta hashtag of sorts. And I see this Brawl for a Cause thing. I'm like, this looks cool. Why don't I bring this guy in? I brought him in. Our conversation was great. And because it's an upcoming event, I'm pushing this one to the front of the stack. All the time you hear me talk about how much content we've got, and it's really cranking now. And we want to catch up on some of the older ones. But because this event is very soon, I want to get this out to you ASAP. And because the conversation was so fun, and you know what? It got me super pumped, and I'm going to do this. You'll be hearing a lot more about it as things go on. Sometime after this first event at the Dome gets done, the new stadium gets done, I will be trying to sign up, and you'll learn how all that works for the next one of these. But without further ado, let's go. I said 2 a week. Here's the second this week. Even though it's Sunday, it's still this week. Okay. Me and Matt and I, away we go. So you were saying that you went to high school here?
So I went to high school not too far from here, Westminster.
Okay.
West Paces, and then went to University of Georgia
right. Following
Westminster and right. Came back here to start the career.
Right. Are you crushed by recent Bulldog events?
Well, let's not talk about that.
Let's not talk about it?
The only reason that should enter the conversation is because on the same field where the Dogs had that tragic defeat, we will be doing a charity boxing event on.
Well, we should definitely talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that super shortly. So so what did you study?
I was history and comparative literature.
Which is perfect for
starting a startup nonprofit, yeah. That's when they translate directly.
About boxing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I learned a lot more in college outside of the classroom than inside of the classroom. So I started a business in college, and I boxed for the University of Georgia club boxing team.
Who knew they even had one?
Yeah, it's not an NCAA-sanctioned sport, so a bunch of colleges have club teams. We travel around and beat each other up, and I had a lot of fun doing that in college.
Yeah, and what weight do you fight at?
I was a light heavyweight in college. I'm a little heavier now. I'd be more of a cruiserweight.
Right. So, well, let people know what that age, what that range
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so I fought 184 in college, and now I'm more like 195.
Right. And who were your boxing heroes as a young man, or did you have it, or before as you got into boxing?
Yeah, so Muhammad Ali is a personal hero of mine. Sugar Ray Leonard actually just sent over a video to our organization, Brawl for a Cause, and he said the words "Brawl for a Cause." So that got little, you know, kid Matt pretty excited.
We call that money.
Yeah,
because you can use that in 1,000 different, you know, promos and whatever.
I don't think it'll be the last time we post it. Yeah,
I like you already, sir.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm from Brockton, Mass.
Cool.
So I'm a Hagler fan. And I'm old enough to remember those fights.
Fight.
Yeah. Okay. So I like Sugar Ray, of course. you know, sure, like it's hard not to love Sugar Ray, mm-hmm. but I remember watching that, you know, that their last famous fight, like it was on HBO or whatever it was. Anyway, so I'm a Hagler man myself. So
we can still be friends.
Okay. So when you said so you're doing fights, you're doing the club sport thing. And when did it dawn on you? Like, I think this is kind of what I want to do next.
It was a long journey. So I joined a fraternity when I got to University of Georgia. They were planning this interfraternity boxing event. I thought it was super cool. So I was like, I'm either going to fight in this thing or I'm going to help plan it, but I want to be involved. So I joined this fraternity. We put about a year of work into this charity boxing event model, fraternity guys against fraternity guys. And then, long story short, the fraternity got kicked off campus, charter revoked, social calendar disappeared. This event idea died with it. And so I got involved in other stuff on campus. I got into student government and then a philanthropy called UGA Hero. And Hero provided about 70% of the funding for a nonprofit based in Atlanta called Hero for Children, which benefited children affected by HIV and AIDS.
Right.
And we were sitting around a table kind of like this one that we're sitting around now, and we were kicking around fundraising ideas. And I kind of brought up this old idea of a charity boxing event. And people were like, well, it kind of goes with our brand. We're Hero for Children. We can, you know, fight for these kids. And, you know, that sounds pretty cool. Like, what would you need to do that? And I was like, you know, next meeting, I'll come back with a budget and a proposal. And they said, okay. So about a week later, I had 10 people sign up to fight. I had a venue. I had figured out insurance, and I had this budget that I needed in order to make this event happen. And they kind of looked at it, and they're like, whoa, this got real, you know, pretty fast.
Right.
I don't know if, you know, this is in the budget for this year, and I don't know if we want to be associated with a boxing event and yada, yada, yada. So I was like, all right. And so I was kind of at a crossroads where, you know, it had already kind of failed with the fraternity. Now I got another no with the organization I was volunteering for. I could either let this thing kind of fade away and be something I wish I had done in college, or I could try to do it myself. So I had no money. I was 21. So I couldn't fund it myself, but I'd heard of sponsorships. And so I started going around town and knocking on doors, and ended up getting a big sponsorship from the local gym called Omni Club in Athens. So they, on the spot, wrote a $2,500 check, said, we want our name all over this. And that was all I needed to put a down payment on the venue and make this thing real.
That's awesome. Are you a guy, was that easy for you, or was that tough for you, the knocking on doors part?
It was tough. The short answer was it was tough. I really enjoy people and talking to people, and I think I'm naturally inclined to sales, but it is never easy asking people for money, especially when you really don't have a track record or anything right. to show for it. I was 21. I had never put on an event, and I was selling this vision of you know, a couple thousand people packing into the Georgia Theater in Athens to watch a boxing event, which the theater had never done. They had never put a ring on their stage. So it was a tough sell. I mean, I even walked into Omni Club only asking for $1,000. They were the ones that kind of came back and countered me with $2,500, which I've come to find is a very rare thing after doing this
Absolutely.
For 6 years.
Absolutely.
Sponsorships have not been that easy
right.
ever since. So I had a little stroke of beginner's luck, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's also one of those things that can get you, like, I know for me, being a business owner, it's one of those things that goes, okay, I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah, have you ever read The Alchemist?
Of course.
Paulo Coelho?
Of course, one of my favorites.
If any listeners haven't read it, stop whatever you're reading now and go pick it up. You can read it in like 2 days. And it's amazing. And he talks about beginner's luck and omens, and both of those things have been much more prevalent in my life since I started Brawl for a Cause.
Right. And so give us kind of the short version of what's happened in 6 years since.
Sure. So that first event, basically took up all of my time. Up to that point, I was pre-law, hence the history and comparative literature majors, and I was interning for district attorney and clerking for judge, and spent a summer in D.C. working for Senator Chambliss, and like set myself up to go to a great law school and you know, do battle in a courtroom the rest of my life. And that first event, I remember I had spent all night setting up the ring with the guy that owned the ring. So instead of paying, you know, two or three other guys to help set it up, I was like, we'll save that cost and I'll be the muscle and help you set this thing up. And so it took about 5 hours. We had to start after the band at Georgia Theater the night before had broken down. So we're starting set up at like 2:30 in the morning. We end around like 7:30, right around the
time. You couldn't get a couple of buddies that you'd give some beer to like help?
That was a tall order to stay up all night to build a ring. And this was totally, you know, especially the first event, it was a very unilateral effort. It was, right. It was just me. And since, thank goodness, we've built an incredible team of people that volunteer and help. And I could not do any of this today without them. But back then, yeah, it was me and this ring owner. And we finish up around the time that the sun is rising. And Georgia Theater has this beautiful stained glass window behind the bar on the fourth floor of the theater, and I remember being alone in the theater. No one from the staff had arrived yet, and the ring owner had left. So I was just kind of walking around this venue where I'd seen so many great shows, and I had a lot of respect for the space. And I walk up to the balcony, and the sun is rising, and it's kind of peeking through the stained glass window, and it lights up the ring I had just built, and all these banners from these sponsors that had run around and talking to, you know, trusting a 21-year-old kid with their marketing budget. And I looked at it and I realized that like in a couple hours, people were going to be lining up to buy tickets to this boxing event that, you know, had been this journey of being said no to, and it almost not working out, and it was about to work out, and I just started bawling. I mean,
I kind of want to cry.
Yeah, it was a very real moment, and I kind of realized in that moment, like, I don't think a courtroom would give me that feeling of creation and persistence, and ultimately realizing that vision. So the first event was awesome. We sold 864 tickets. We got the front page cover story of the local paper the next day. My mom called me crying.
Aww.
when you know, I was interviewed on local news, and it was cool.
Who were the fighters?
Oh man, that first event, the fight. I recruited some guys 2 days before the event. I mean, there were people that literally had never put on gloves before. It was 44 UGA students, and I matched them up. We had 22 bouts in that first event.
And how did you just, all right, you guys are about the same weight, let's go?
Yeah, so all of our events are sanctioned by USA Boxing. So we have to adhere to their rules. And basically that means make sure they're matched within 5-10 pounds. Make sure that they're similar experience level. And all of my fighters are, because we focus on first timers.
Right.
Extreme novices getting in the ring, getting outside of their comfort zone and into the ring to fight for something they personally believe in. So all these people getting in the ring, you know, they're doing it for the right reasons. They're fighting for charity, for something bigger than themselves. And they know that, hey, like, you know, I'm in there with someone else that's in the same boat as me. And, you know, they know they're going to get punched a few times, but they're going to be okay.
Right.
It is extreme novices.
Okay. So I'm assuming they don't go more than, say, like 3 rounds. Is it that kind of thing?
3 rounds, 2 minutes each.
Okay.
And if that's a concern, we can shorten the rounds a little bit. But we try to stick to 2 minute rounds. And, you know, 6 minutes doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you got those boxing gloves on and you're going as hard as you can against someone else, you get exhausted real quick.
No, I've had this much boxing training. I was going to see a guy for a few weeks, and we were just, you know, 1-2, 1-2, and, you know, punching the bag for a few weeks. Then finally I got in the ring where all I did was defend. He just had me like running back and forth, and we got done and I was ready to die, and he was like, that was a minute and a half. I was like, what? I was like, that was 5 minutes. Like, yeah. No, dude, that was 90 seconds. That was half a round.
Sounds about
so,
right.
So I understand that. So, but here's just, so that first event, how many fights?
22.
So 22. So how many knockouts, how many decisions?
There aren't many knockouts in amateur boxing. You're wearing a helmet, you have a girdle, you have weighted gloves that are more padded. A TKO is more common.
Which is just knocked down, or they're getting the shit beat out of them.
It stands for technical knockout. So you aren't like on your back and like, you know, seeing stars. It's like you've stopped throwing punches against your opponent.
Right.
You're just taking kind of a beating. And so, right. So then USA Boxing will step in and be like, okay, this is over. Like,
right.
You're clearly losing.
Right.
So out of those 22, man, I'd say maybe six of them were stopped.
Okay.
Most of them go the distance.
Right. And then, so when you say sanctioned, is that difficult? Like, I assume you got to get real judges or?
Yeah. So there are a few requirements associated with getting a USA Boxing sanction. What they provide is insurance, not just for the day of the event, but for all the people training up to the event. So that's really valuable. And obviously, something we want to protect the people that are willing to.
Is that expensive?
The sanction itself, yeah, it's gotten more expensive over the years. So more and more kind of white collar or charity boxing events are bubbling up, and that's significantly different than the boxing events that they're used to putting on, where you know it's. Your typical boxing story, kids off the street getting, you know, out of gangs and into the ring and that kind of mentality where there isn't that much money in that kind of boxing. But, you know, in the white collar charity boxing side, it's extremely different demographic. Like the people that compete in the Brawl for a Cause events are lawyers, bankers, CEOs, celebrities. They're people with strong networks that can afford a $100 ticket price to spend 4 hours on the field of Mercedes-Benz Stadium and have open bar and casino games and all this stuff. It's a fundamentally different event. So we, on top of our sanction fee, we always cut a donation check to Georgia Amateur Boxing and to USA Boxing because we couldn't do the event without them.
All right. So before I forget, because I want to get what's been going on the last few years, but before I forget, since we're just while I'm thinking about it, was the stadium a tough gig to book? Because I assume everybody wants that. It's the hottest thing in town. So was that tough for you to get?
I would equate getting the stadium to that stroke of beginner's luck when I walked into Omni Club. This happened very, very recently and right after I made the decision to go full-time with Brawl for a Cause. And one of my past participants in Brawl for a Cause, actually the main event in our last event, this guy's a BlackRock guy. He does investment consulting, extremely strong network, invests in a lot of things, and he invested in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium as a suite owner. And so through him, we got a connection to the event staff and the sales staff to talk about what an event would take. And because we're a nonprofit and because they want to use that stadium 365 days a year and try events like this, we cut a deal that we could both stomach. They're making a lot less than they're probably making off Taylor Swift when she comes in. And we, you know, we're kind of stretching our budget to be able to get into the stadium. But this is really our coming out party after this event. We would love to use this event as a model and a resume to go into other markets. Say, hey, trust us with your stadium and let us raise a lot of funds and a lot of awareness for deserving nonprofits that people are willing to take a punch for.
So this big fight. So what's the date?
Saturday, February 17th.
Okay, Saturday, February 17th. And how many fights will happen?
We'll have 15 bouts, a maximum of 15 bouts. So we have the field for 4 hours. That's pretty much. Every minute, there's some punches being thrown.
Right.
With 15 bouts.
So it's on the field, I guess.
That's right.
But will the actual field still be down, or will they have something else?
The field will be down. So the same field where the Falcons and Atlanta United play is the field that every guest will get access to. We aren't selling a single stadium seat.
They're all floor seats.
They are all walking around.
So
on the field.
Sold out. How many seats would that be?
About 5,000.
Okay. And what are you looking to get?
We'll be between maybe 2,500 and 4,000.
Okay, so that's a lot of folks.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and what's the ticket price?
So right now, all tickets are 15% off.
Okay.
Because we're still about a month out from the event. So right. if you scoop it up now, they're $85 for general admission, $135 for premium. What premium gets you is open bar and $30 of casino chips to get started with the gambling. And then tables right now are $850. Now, all those prices will go up to $100 for general admission, $150 for premium, and $1,000 for tables.
I know people are thinking, well, I can drink, so I should go the VIP route.
Oh, even if you don't like boxing, would you pay even $150 for 4 hours of right? open bar on the same field where the NCAA National Championship was just played?
Right.
I mean, it's a good deal.
So... like, I found you, I think, through Instagram, through hashtag searches. What are you, how are you getting the word out? Because if I sat down with pretty much any guy I know and said, this sounds pretty cool, I'd get a lot of yeses. So, but, you know, anyway, what are you doing to market the event?
Yeah, so we have a really talented marketing shop that we've partnered with called 31 South. They're also out of Atlanta Tech Village, where Brawl for a Cause is based. And our primary focus, we are not a big organization. We do not have a huge marketing budget. So these other big boxing promotion companies that throw tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars into promoting a fight, we just can't do. So what we've focused on is more organic, word-of-mouth type of marketing. We're gorillas. So we do a lot of influencer marketing. We do a lot of pre-events. One of those pre-events is sold out, but it's tomorrow night at Sweetwater Brewery. We're having a 90-minute comedy show and announcing our matches.
Right.
So all 300 people that come to that will have in Sweetwater Brewery drinking, having a good time, and we'll be offering tickets at that.
Do you
event.
Get texts on your phone?
On my watch.
On your watch?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's become like a nervous tick. Like, I don't know. I just got it for Christmas, so I'm still figuring it out.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm so like the opposite. Like I did it for like my Garmin. I synced these, you know, for running. Mm-hmm. And then it like would give me like every call and text, and it was like, it drove me fucking bananas. So I could never.
It is a little distracting. But no, I mean, back to the marketing. Have you ever heard of Friendly Human? They're based kind of close to here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Friendly Human is an amazing content creation shop, and they're getting a lot more into social, and it's a great place if you're looking for any kind of commercial or any kind of like one stop shop marketing
right.
kind of content creation place. They're based in Croc Street Market. They are one of the six Atlanta based creators that is included in THEA, which is the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce project that is basically Atlanta Netflix.
Yeah, so, I actually need to reach out to those guys because they've been showing up in my feed and they look like they're up to some good stuff.
Totally legit. If you haven't downloaded THEA yet, definitely check it out and check out Friendly Human on it. But they have been extremely generous sponsors for the last 3 years doing all of our walkout videos. So all the brawlers that are competing in this next event will get their 30 seconds to say who they are, what they're fighting for, why they're fighting for it up on that Halo board in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Oh, so pretty sweet. Right. And then they're doing all the recap content too. So we'll have a recap movie coming out after this event, spotlighting a couple matchups, a couple brawlers, why they're fighting for what they're fighting for.
Right.
And so they're really awesome, but they're creating this amazing promo video, which is almost done. We'll release it right after this comedy night. And that kind of video content has the potential to reach a lot more people than some of our other marketing.
Do I get to pick my own like walkout music?
You get, not only do you get to pick your own walkout music, you pick your own cause. So that's what really separates Brawl for a Cause from any other charity boxing event or charity event in general. We do not just benefit one cause. It is not a run for the cure where everyone's raising money for the same thing and your friends clap for 15 seconds when you cross the finish line. Instead, if you sign up to Brawl for a Cause, you choose your own charity. It's something that has directly affected you or your family. And you get to share that story while you're going through this completely free 8 weeks of training. You're getting sponsored gear. You're getting all of our resources to raise the funds and awareness for your cause. To make this campaign successful. And then on event day, your friends, you know, they get a lot more than you crossing a finish line. They get to watch you get punched in the face for 6 minutes.
So Is there a minimum I have to raise? Like if I say, dude, I want to be, I'm in, I want to be in the next one. Like, is there a minimum I have to raise?
So we ask for a minimum of $1,000.
Okay.
And the reason why we do that is, it does cost money to get you that 8 weeks of free training. Our partner for that is X3 Sports.
I know those guys. I mean, I've heard of them, but I don't know them.
They're awesome. They have four locations around Atlanta: Inman Park, West Midtown, Marietta, and East Cobb. And any of our brawlers can walk into any one of those locations for free and train as many times per day as they want over the next 8 weeks. So they're awesome in getting our guys prepared because it's scary. None of these people have done this before,
right?
And they're experts, so they can help help you learn how to defend yourself, throw a punch the right way, all that kind of stuff.
So I want to come in and do this because I do. Like I'm sold. I was half sold before you got here. Now I'm absolutely fucking sold.
Love it.
And I got a pretty good network, so I think I could raise the money. But do I got to give you the $1,000 now, or do you give me like up until the time of the fight?
No, you use the fight as the reason that you're fundraising. So as you're training, you're posting content of you in the gym. You're posting
content
of you talking about your cause. And along the journey to the ring, you're also raising those funds along the way. So it's at the event that we release your fundraising total. It's after the event that we cut that check to your cause. So just to give you a frame of reference, a lot of our guys are around 1,000 right now, and we're a month out.
Right.
Some of our guys are people like Sam Koenigsberg, who was the main event in the last event and helped us get Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He raised $20,000 last year.
He's what we call a...
he's a stud. He's our lead horse. And this year, we have someone similar. So we have a guy named Eddie Capel. He's CEO of Manhattan Associates, 3,500-person company based in Atlanta. He's 56 years old, and he's getting in the ring. And he has raised over $30,000 to date, which makes him the most successful brawler that we've had in our organization's history.
If I post, come watch me get punched in the face, I know I can raise some dough, brother.
Yeah, and you aren't alone in that.
Although I'd like to win. I'm a competitive guy. Sure. I'd like to win.
Sure.
Has anybody just like screwed the pooch? Like you bet on someone and they didn't raise the dough, and you're like, all right, we'll let you fight anyway, or...
You know, it really hasn't happened. And the reason being is this is so out there for someone that has never boxed to have the courage to get into the ring and fight for something they personally believe in. It resonates with people. People want to come out, buy tickets, and support that person. And if they can't, they're donating to their cause.
Got it.
It's a very strong
lie. I think so I'm going to tell you a quick story. So I had a thing happen. So I'm in the... The lead up doesn't matter. The point is there was a guy who doesn't like me who like threw an elbow at me at an event. And I said, listen, we should box, right? Instead of this like whatever, because at the time I like got in his face and it was very like what I call like two guys yelling at each other, but you know neither one's gonna throw a punch. It was one of those situations.
Right.
And so I said we should box and we should do it for charity, and he pussed out. And he lives in another state, so I know there was that to overcome, but pussed out's the wrong phrase. He didn't respond. We'll just say that. He didn't respond.
Okay.
So this has sort of been in my mind anyway. I took my son to see a boxing coach last year.
Cool.
And he was awesome. Mm-hmm. And my son, These guys worked out hard, and so my son like was not ready for it, I think, and I want to get him anyway. Boxing's just sort of been floating around my head for a while, is what I'm trying to say. And so I'm in. So how far in advance do you set up future fights? How do I get? And this is me not just saying this because you're on the show. I'm like, I'm being serious.
No, I love it. So applications are closed for this event.
For this event, obviously.
Right. So right after this event, we'll bring our usual website back up. Right now, it's a landing page that just points you to donate and buy tickets.
Right.
But we'll bring our usual website back up that has an application to become a brawler.
Right.
And just frame of reference, we had 100 people apply to be brawlers this year. We selected 40 of them.
Okay.
So the way that the criteria to become a brawler is after you sign up, you create your campaign.
Right.
And you start generating pledges.
Got it.
So these are not donations yet. These are people that will support you,
right,
if you are chosen to be a brawler. When you're chosen to be a brawler, all of those pledges turn into donations. So those pledges,
it's kind of like an Indiegogo thing.
Exactly. That's what it's modeled after.
Got it.
So when you hit that tipping point, when you get chosen, all of those transactions, they go, right? But leading up to that, you're just being like, hey, help me get a spot in this event. This is why I care about
you're
it.
You're doing this. You're doing everything right, dude. I can see why you're successful. Anyway, please continue.
Thanks. So anyway, we have this competition to get a spot in the event.
Right.
Then we have a competition to get matched. So out of those 40 people, only 30 get matched.
Oh, wow.
And then we have 10 alternates.
Okay.
So
somebody gets hurt. Somebody's going to go out of town.
And that always happens. Someone gets sick. Someone gets hurt. Someone can't do it.
Someone decides reason. They don't want to get their face beat in.
That's one of them, too. Usually like 3 to 5 of those alternates get a spot in the event.
Got it.
So they're still fundraising. They're still training like they're fighting on event day. But those 30 that get matched, those are the ones that have hyped it up the most, that raised the most money, that showed up the most group training classes. They're taking it the most seriously. And so we announce those matches tomorrow. So I don't know when this will air, but Friday, January 19th at Sweetwater Brewery, we're announcing our matches. We're having a 90-minute comedy show. It's sold out, but it was only $10, and everyone that comes in gets a pint glass with Brawl for a Cause and Sweetwater on it. Sweetwater is one of our big partners this year. So after we announce those matches, we have a 4-week journey where now everything gets real. They're really training. They're really marketing, you know, what they're doing, getting the word out, selling tickets, raising even more funds. And then on event day, all these people that have gone through this whole journey, it's kind of like the final boss, right? It's like it's the finale. This whole journey, everything they've been working towards is coming down to those 6 minutes in the ring. So it's electric. And it's really fun to watch. You'll never see more passionate people in the ring. Because even with pros, you know, they have their whole career to think about. They need to do this and do it with longevity in mind. These people are doing it once in their life. They're doing it because when they're on their deathbed and they look back at their life, they can say, at least once in my life, I fought for what I believed in. And that's something that it changes you. I mean, this is a transformative experience. So I'm excited you're interested in it.
Well, here's the other thing about, I remember why I wanted to set up the fight with those guys is that, so I, my other business is obstacle racing. And so I'm and running is actually for me the best part of that. A lot of people, it's their least favorite part is the running. They just enjoy the obstacles, but I really love running. But I've let the other part of my training go. I'm 45, which means my metabolism is worse. I put on a few extra lbs, and I was like, well, I'm fighting these guys who, by the way, they're like 25 years old. Either one of it was sort of there's two guys. I was only going to fight one of them anyhow. I thought, well, this will probably get me off my ass, right? So there's that too, right? There's get me in shape, do this cool once in a lifetime thing, raise some money, have fun, do it. Like I'm totally, yeah, dude. So after this fight is when I go apply.
Yeah. So if you're interested in doing this, you know, you personally or anyone listening to this, come to this, you know, check it out, see what it's all about, see if it's for you.
Right.
And after the event, when we release the recap content and bring our site back live and have the application there, submit an application, and we'll send you more information. We'll be with you every step of the way. It's our job to support and empower
right.
these everyday people that are willing to do this.
Right. This is so cool, dude. And I've got a pretty big pipeline of content of interviews, but I'll push this one towards the front so we can see if we can maybe sell some tickets. I mean, this is like awesome.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I mean, I was interested just based on whatever I said. I saw the website, I saw a video, whatever I saw, I was like, oh, this seems cool, I should talk to this guy. And it's like even cooler than I thought, really.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah. And I hope others feel the same way.
So your goal is to get it, you want to get it in multiple markets. That's your goal.
That's right. So this has been a passion project and a side thing that I've been doing for 6 years. And when I was a part of two tech startups, they did well. I took a year off last year. I kind of traveled and worked remotely and did the digital nomad thing. And in that time of reflection, I realized that I have so much more meaning and passion in my life when I'm working on Brawl for a Cause. And so many amazing people and stories and characters have come into my life because of this organization. And if there's a time in my life to pour myself into something like this, it's when I'm in my 20s and when I don't have a family to support and I can afford to, you know, live on ramen and do a startup nonprofit and see where it takes me. And so I decided to go full time in it. And when I did, just, you know, I'm going to bring up The Alchemist again, but when you set that intention and when you make that decision to build your life around something, the universe conspires to help you. And no matter your belief system, like there is something to really pouring yourself into something. And so ever since that happened, the stars have started to align. We got the field of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We've had some incredible people sign up to Brawl that I'm really excited about.
You really like the word brawl over fight or box.
That's what it is. These people are not boxers and they're not fighters.
So they're just throwing fucking haymakers.
They're fighting for what they believe in. They are brawling.
But let's actually, let me ask you that a little bit about, because boxing is, for those that don't know, the sweet science, right?
That's right.
And, there's a lot of genius in there for those that know how to do it, right?
It's a chess match with your body.
Exactly. But 3 2-minute rounds, I'm guessing it's a lot of haymakers. Are there, do some people come in and surprise you and like, wow, they've clearly like learned a lot in a short time?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, let's see, the fourth college event I put on, we actually sold out the Georgia Theater. It was one of my favorite events that I've ever put on. And kind of our main event in that fight was this freshman kid, 18 years old, who had gotten declined or denied from the Naval Academy. But his goal was to become a Navy SEAL. He played high school football, big, you know, Tyson kind of build. I had this other guy who was in law school, went to West Point, served 2 tours of duty in Afghanistan. And if this is intimidating you to sign up for Brawl for Cause, this is not our typical matchup. This is like a, you know, an armed forces kind of matchup. That we also have like, you know, overweight golf club directors that sign up to fight. So don't let this scare you. But this one matchup, you know, I couldn't find anyone to match against this West Point guy. He's a literal warrior. And this freshman kid came in and said, "I will literally fight anyone. You put anyone in front of me, I'm going to knock him down." I said, "Okay, you know, I have this guy. He's 26. He's older than you. He's served in Afghanistan." I was like, "Are you sure you want this?" And he's like, "Bring him on." I was like, "That's the mentality I want." So put him as the main event. And I'm worried about this kid,
right?
Because this, you know, this guy went to West Point. He did boxing at West Point. He was in, you know, Afghanistan and in a war zone. And like, you know, I was like, you know, is this 18-year-old kid going to survive this? And the fight ends up getting called because the 18-year-old kid had bloodied up this West Point guy's nose so much that like people in the crowd started like kind of looking away and they call the fight and it just totally transforms this kid's you know, the rest of his college experience. He has since gone on to be the main event in my next event after that, and then he said he wanted to help with the organization.
Wow. So
he's been event manager for all the college events since.
That's a great story.
And yeah, his name's Trent Gant. He's one of my best friends now. So anyway, you just to circle back, the people that feel called to do this, that rise to this challenge, that selflessly decide to fight for something they believe in, to take a punch for something bigger than themselves, and not to line their own pockets with money, but to donate it to a mission that resonates with them and people that need it, those are my kind of people. So if I can spend the next couple years or even the rest of my life surrounding myself with those types of people and training and equipping them and inspiring them to do this to the best of their ability, I think that's a life well lived. And so if there's ever a time to go for something like this, it is right now. And I'm done giving it, you know, a part-time effort or giving a half of my heart. It's time to double down, go all in. And that's why, you know, as a 27-year-old kid, figured out a way to put out a deposit check that's triple my net worth to lock in that stadium. And everything I am and I have is in this event. And so if it goes well, great. It's time to expand. And if it doesn't, well, yeah, I gave it my best shot.
Are you a Vaynerchuk fan at all?
Oh yeah, Gary V's the man.
Okay. It's interesting because you know, I don't listen to him as religiously as I used to because it's a lot of the same tenets over and over again. But I can check back in once in a while. But those tenants always, they just sort of re-guide my North Star And the biggest one is all in on your strengths. That's the one that's singing for me right now.
Right.
Because as a younger man, so this is like my third or fourth business, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. And I read everything. So when you said Alchemist, of course, but I read everything and I went to like every seminar and I was that guy. And I spent so much time on trying to fix what I'm bad at instead of going all in what I'm good at. It turns out this is what I'm good at.
Right.
Talking to people, telling stories, telling their stories. And then the other part is the social media piece, which it turns out I'm just good at being my goofy self on the fucking phone and people seem to be drunk, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to like, you know, this is my, so just to learn a little bit about me. So I had a staffing company.
Okay.
And that was my first business and kind of my like, oh, this beats working for the man business. Mm-hmm. But then 7 years later, it was just as horrible as any job you'd ever have. I woke up every day hating what I was doing. Okay.
Created a monster.
Correct. That I couldn't get out of because I don't have the degree to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gary always talks about now how like it's so hip to be the entrepreneur and whatever. So I'm sort of that last generation of, if you didn't go to college, what are you going to do with your life? And I used to be embarrassed. Like shortly after high school, those first, you know, 3 to 7 years where do you go to school or where did you go to school? I was always afraid people would ask that. I was like, oh, I didn't go to college. Now, fast forward 10 years later, I had my own business doing well. And a lot of my friends didn't know what the fuck they were going to do. And it was like, hey, this is cool. But it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like Gary who said, oh, I punted all that shit. I knew I wasn't good at it. So I wasn't that ahead of the curve, right?
Sure.
But so now we are this time around. And every time I hear that, it reminds me to just keep going on the things that I'm good at. What was the other one you said that really, oh man, you said something else that was just like the Gary Vee sort of playbook. Oh man, I can't even think of it. But yesterday he came up too with a guy who draws. So this guy that makes this thing called Squishy Puss. Have you heard of it?
No. What is it? Weird name.
One of those things that this guy drew and stuck up somewhere, and boom, it becomes this iconic thing that people start taking pictures with, and now people buy it. You know, like R. Land is his thing. Do you know who he is?
Yeah. Okay.
Like the Pray for ETL, that's him, and there's a bunch of other things. Anyway, so this guy Ray, and he's like, you know, you just don't people typically wouldn't, you know, think about sort of the starving crazy artist, and he's not. He's just as passionate as you are, and he knows how to make money. He knows how to do business. So just giving a shout out to Gary Vee. But I want to get back to your thing, which is I'm excited, and we'll talk offline about like I was thinking like who I would want to raise money for.
Sure.
So I was diagnosed bipolar last year.
Cool.
And like took like a little outpatient stint at Ridgeview, and I started talking about it and like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that it touched was humongous. And so I know that's who I would want to like bring awareness to, like bipolar, depression, anxiety, all
mental
that stuff.
Mental health. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Big one.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, like I said, I usually am pretty backed up, but I think we can get this one up soon because like this is dope, dude.
I hope so. And if it does get up in time, I'd love to offer a promo code to your listener. So
sure.
So I'll make it ATL podcast.
Okay.
And I'll get you a little discount if you want to come check out and see what we're doing
on
February 17th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Dude, that's awesome. All right, man. Good talking.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, there you have it. I'm going to go ahead and release the name of our opening and closing theme show music, and it's Brian Revels. Actually, Brian, I don't know if it's Revels or Revels. We've talked several times. You've made these great tracks, but I'm not sure how to say your name. You can check him out at brianrevelsmusic.com. He's on Instagram at b_revelator. We still may, as I said, update these tunes, make them better. But it's been 3-4 weeks now, and I've been using this awesome music. So here we are, curating great stuff. We got Bradley on the ones and twos on the photo and video. We got Brian on the music. Let's make magic, awesome shit happen in Atlanta. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Hope you guys are well. Talk to you soon. Love you, miss you, mean it. Gotta run.